Blog Talk Radio. Of the trillions of species in the universe, there's none more baffling to modern science than the one called Black God. Otherwise known as Cometicus Nyctarum, this beautiful creature's strength, power, and omniscience has been copied and poorly duplicated by many in the mortal world. It's very rare that we catch a glimpse of this enigma on this terrain. Let's follow this one with our cameras and see what happens.
They said I was a walking contradiction. Black in intelligence, a cerebellum heavy like a Gatlin. Fiction, I got a whole code of the murder. You mathematically subtract your existence. High priest in white robes, moonlight and street clothes. Dropping more signs like the last benediction. Just on them devils with seven conducting metals. We on the 11th level, try to catch us. Wishing. The fifth dimension high power thesis. Black God had me on your piece like I'm Jesus. Resurrect the game in 48 bar releases. Don't watch me take the throne beside Messiah and the kingdom. Cause I greet with peace don't mean the battle gon' be easy. I got goons divining runes and runes of the Giza. Carving out the glyphs of my legend on my sealer. Sarah, take the mic and turn the echo in the ether. Stand ready for the era of the Black God. We kill him softly on the mic or win the track hard. Hit the stage and create sages out of trap stars. I'm free agent, drop the label, watch me blast off. I'm free agent, drop the label, watch me blast off. Just call me the one, but I'm not the one to mess with. Genetic engineered, you took one egg to make your flesh with. Held the masterpiece and sent my name with double X's. Formed your whole world and on the seventh day I rested. Domestic goddess, honey, I can bring the house down. I'm not turning you, kill the master and bring the south down. Blaze the underground until I catch up with the north star. Then I'm freestyling, synesthesia, turn the lights down. Will not be your perception of a female with a mic, cause I do not choose to simulate erections when I write. I am Nina with a loaded Smith and Wesson when I write. Say in Mississippi, goddamn, I'm exceptional on a mic. Open wormholes with wordplay, real trance with sound mastery. I'm shaman, watch me Sundance, all six favorite Cassidy. No chemical enhancement, I just rock this shit naturally. It's all black, everything as nice and Queen Rhapsody. Ready for the era of the Black God. We kill him softly on the mic or win the track hard. Hit the stage and create sages out of trap stars. I'm free agent, drop the label, watch me blast off. I'm free agent, drop the label, watch me blast off. My star seeds bring raw heat to your doorstep. Then circles rang your verses, have you dizzy with their four steps. You forced it, my crew flow like first blood, moon water. My voice got you trapped inside my force field. New orbit, a meteor is rising. But you don't see my light in the media, cause the TV be lying, my CD too morbid. It killed crapnel and rap with hard beats in the mall. I'm superhero, rocket S with MBs and records. Taking off in 4-3-2-1. So tally up the scoreboard so they can see who won. Started last, now I stage lines with bass and two speakers. But I'm crab rappers laggy, moon dust off my sneakers. Need I repeat this? My speech left y'all speechless. And I research my words like white coats and glass speakers. My mind primed to detonate your rhymes like Minesweeper. When it blow, watch the sky, that's where my best lines are featured. Stand ready for the era of the Black God. We kill him softly on the mic or win the track hard. Hit the stage and create sages out of trap stars. I'm free agent, drop the label, watch me blast off. I'm free agent, drop the label, watch me blast off.
Peace, 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 and Black Power family. Welcome to another episode of Do Knowledge Radio, place where knowledge is born. This is your host, Knowledge Born Allah, and this is our revolutionary Sunday episode, and we are extremely honored and privileged to have in our midst today the divine warrior queen who has dedicated her life to the reformation of the African family through literary works and production. I speak of none other than the African warrior goddess, a Akua Aguzi. That family, that phone number to call in, 515-605-9360. Again, 515-605-9360. Press 1 with your questions or your comments. It becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce the summer, present to others. Tonight's guest here on Do Knowledge Radio, Queen Akua Aguzi, is in the building. Peace, Queen.
Peace.
How you doing today?
Glad to be here. I'm doing well. Excited. Excited to be connected. Honored to be a part of your production.
Right, right. Ain't no production without you. You know what I'm saying? You got it going on. So we're here to pay homage and recognition and celebration of your great works.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, we always start off here with a brief introduction, so you could take as little or as long as you like to introduce yourself to the family here.
All right. Well, as the Honorable Brother mentioned, my name is Akua Aguzi. I do have another name, a spiritual name, which is Oya Bueni. So I also answer to that. Children's book author, book publisher through Cultivated Roots Media, which is my company. And I also have another company, Proven Publishing, where I extend publishing services to independent book authors and people who actually strive to have a book publishing company themselves as well. I'm a mother. That is my favorite title and the most important title I hold of all of them, of a boy and a girl. And originally from California, I'm now living in Atlanta, Georgia. I've been here about 2 years. And since moving here, just really broadening my perspective on some of the work that I think I'm supposed to be doing. So I don't know, anyone listening may be familiar with my previous book publishing name, which was Seeds Book Publishing. It's now grown to Cultivated Roots Media, which basically, you know, says the direction I'm moving into is not just to provide literary works for our children and most importantly our families, but, you know, some film and just looking to just deal with media, period, and media, that medium of influence in all ways. So I'm excited to be at this point in my journey of being able to just, you know, be open and more mindful of what transitions need to be made and just kind of going with the flow. I've done some, you know, physical work for our people as well, and different forms of training, you know, self-defense. I think that's very important and shouldn't be a reactive type of situation, but something you should proactively do. It's good for discipline, health reasons, and there's nothing wrong with being ready in the event that you need to defend yourself. So that has also been a part of my journey, as well as doing some teaching. So I've been doing that for, oh, man, I'm about to give out my whole age now, but maybe about 20 years now, off and on, teaching in different African-centered establishments that either I've created or I've been invited to. So that's the skinny on me. That's who I am, what I do.
So in other words, you're a mother that can write and fight. That's what I'm talking about.
Right, right. Oh, you good. You quick. Yeah, and I guess another important piece for me to include is what I write about. You know, me assuming that perhaps someone would automatically know it's not appropriate. So majority of my books focus on history, our history in particular, Black history, Pan-African history, global Black history, whatever type of nationality you identify with, people with melanin, that's my focus. My focus isn't necessarily only to teach African people, African history, but to share it in a way where anyone can receive it, honor it, and respect it, because I think it's important that everyone is corrected or has the exposure to the correct history so they know how and what to respect about African people. So my focus isn't outside. Of course, you focus, you know, what's going on in-house first. So definitely, you know, our children would be at the forefront of how I write, but I write it in a way, again, that anyone can appreciate it. And I think it's important to mention that because some people will see that my books are predominantly about Black history and think that no one else can benefit from that. But I think we, you know, we could definitely do better functioning in this country and making sure that, you know what I mean, everybody gets checked. Everyone is open to the same stereotypes and is misled by the same information. So, you know, I make it where anyone has access to it and can elevate in that way.
Okay. So can we start at the beginning here of this spiritual journey? You said you have another name, so that would allude to some sort of African-centered spiritual system. Could you tell us about that? Can you tell us about your spiritual journey?
Sure. You know, some years ago, I want to say maybe about 4 to 5 years ago, I actually met a brother online who wanted to talk to me about one of my books. And after conversation, found out that he was a high priest. And in our tradition, that title was called Babalao, Father of Mystery, Father of Secrets, right? And, you know, he being an older gentleman who was like in the path I'm on, but he could kind of see some of the spaces that were missing, right? So he was like, okay, what kind of dishes do you know how to cook? You know how to cook any African dishes, or do you just cook RBG dishes, and what are those? And I was like, that's a good question. Well, I know two African dishes. I was like, I guess I could stand to learn more. You know, that's what we are pumping our fist about, is being able to, you know, freely participate in our culture and get that back. I think I need to get more of it. Okay, receive that. Then he asked me about, you know, language. And it's like, okay, even outside of Kiswahili, what are some of the other languages that you're familiar with? I'm like, it's another space. Then it came to the spiritual system. What spiritual system are you practicing for you and your children? And it, as odd as it sounds, and the information I had ran across, it had never crossed my mind to look into an African spiritual system that touched home for me, that I identified with, right? Because there's several different clans or tribes, groups of African people in the largest continent of the world, so they don't practice one spiritual system. So that kind of opened my eyes, and he told me more about the one that he had a position in, you know, which is Ifa, also known as Yoruba. So it felt right. You know, the more I learned, the more synchronicity I experienced in my life with things, the more of a reference and a resource that system became for me, and not from a sense of just acquiring discipline, which I appreciate. I got a lot of discipline while practicing as what's considered as a Muslim, right? So I appreciate that, and I appreciate the fact that it didn't make me decide. I didn't have to leave one to join another or anything like that. It just gave me some principles that I could apply to my life, and it gave me some answers to questions, because it's based around also a divining system. So when you have a question, there's actually a resource for you to get answers of, okay, well, this is why this is happening right now, or, hey, look out, this is coming towards you, but it needs to, because you need strength in this. So as you're going through some hard times, you know that it's never for nothing. Or even if it, you know, it comes through your divination that this is a result of you neglecting this. You know what I mean? You now have that as a resource. Okay, I need to sharpen my character up, because these are the kind of things it brings, straight up. Or due to my, you know, my good fortune, I'm supposed to do this or that so I can keep it. So I really, really enjoyed having that kind of insight, and decided that, you know, I would have to find a collective of people that practice for me to officially, you know, join. But I was able to start practicing. I was able to start learning. So I kind of started that journey at that time. And then I was able to recognize a Babalao that was in my presence one day randomly. We just vibed, and we ended up working together, and, you know, it kind of started from there. So I have I've been told that I'm a child of Oya, which is a particular deity. So I will someday be, you know, an Oya priestess and a high priestess as well, because that's what came down for me. So I'm just kind of on that journey and taking the time I'm supposed to take to arrive to that. I haven't really rushed it, so I want to really absorb every piece of that stage, you know, in my person, so it's not you know, just like this certificate that I'm going for or this, you know, this master's or anything like that. But this is my journey. So at this point, I'm an initiate to the system. I'm not a priestess yet, but that is the end-all goal for me. My daughter really, really enjoys the practice. She has built her own shrine in her room. She's a child of Oshun. So I love seeing my daughter experience the things I'm now experiencing as an adult, as a child, which is kind of the same experience I'm trying to offer through my children books. You know, a lot of us, as we acquire knowledge over time, like, oh, man, if I would have had this when I was young, oh, my God, I would have been doing this by now. I never would have went through that. I want that for them. I want them to be, quote, unquote, little woke children or conscious. But, you know, to have the character and the desire to always build on their personal, like, to be focused on personal development. And them to have a special connection to history and understand their place in it. And most importantly, a respect for their ancestors, then at the end of the day is going to become a respect they have for themselves, right? Because they're going to be able to see that they don't come from a lineage of people who, you know, are passive, are cowards, didn't fight back, don't fight back, don't strategize. No, absolutely not. That is not the case at all. So them getting examples of us being successful and just kind of really getting a good idea of what's happened and what is possible and their place in that development. So then they're going to pay more attention to what they're attracted to and what their natural calling is. Because they're like, okay, I want to know what my part is. You know what I mean? I want to contribute to history. I want to be a history maker. I want someone to write a children's book about me. And that's something I usually say when I visit schools and I talk to children is like, who knows? I might write about you one day. You know, I might make a movie about you and how incredible you are and how you've been through things. And that seems to really inspire them. So, you know, like I said, just seeing my daughter practice and how hard she prays and, you know, her remembering just all of the different pieces of this spiritual system and it being because she wants to, not because I practice or, you know, it's a cool thing to do here in Atlanta, but she gets results and it gives her comfort and strength and it motivates her. So that's why I've chosen to practice Ifa, like I said, also known as Yoruba. And, you know, I'm somewhat familiar with other spiritual systems as well. I just happen to have a special relationship with this one right now.
Very, very beautiful, and I'm very proud that you were able to connect in a manner and also connect your family with that type of situation. We were discussing this last night, that most of the traditions and things that we have as family, you know, leave from one generation to the next. You know, don't even start to talk about economic development or anything like that. Just the foundation of our family, you know, our family value system and what we accept for value and what we value as a family. You know, it goes from one generation to the next, and the next generation has to find it completely all onto its own. So the beauty of having that connection, that reestablishing that ancestral connection, is that your children and their children and their children's children, and as the generations go further, it's a stronger link and a stronger connection. You see what I'm saying? So you found it, your daughter, you found it, and, you know, it'll continue on. It won't be a situation where they have to look outside of their family structure for something that is their identity. That's their birthright. You see what I'm saying? So I think that's very remarkable and very beautiful that you had that experience. And, you know, I wish you all of the best in your journey to becoming a priestess and a high priestess in the tradition. Next question I wanted to ask was about this Black Power Award nomination. You know, first, congratulations on receiving a nomination. So, you know, could you walk us through the reaction when you found out and what you think about the Black Power Awards institution as a whole?
Sure. Well, you know, the interesting thing is I'm not very competitive, and I've always, you know, I always have to explain that position. It's not that I don't want to win. It's not that I think there's something wrong with that, but I feel like you should do your best just because you should do your best with no motivation of passing others up, which means you got to leave some behind, right? I feel like whatever is supposed to be will be, and that could be connected to my spiritual system, but, you know, so that's how I feel about that. Now, with that said, receiving a nomination from my peers, it really, really touched me. It continues to touch me because when coming up with these ideas coming through me being used to put forth that information, I don't think of that. I don't think like, oh, yeah, you know, no, ain't nobody did this yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to kill them with this one. Oh, yeah, they don't love this. So I'm thinking, okay, what's helpful? So to receive a nomination while I'm trying to, you know, just allow myself to be used in the universe in that way was just really inspiring and motivating, like, wow, they get it, they appreciate it. And hopefully these are happy customers that feel like I'm worthy of receiving that kind of acknowledgement, which makes me feel even better. Like, okay, these people are happy with my work. They've gotten some results from their children or the children in their lives, or they feel impacted in any kind of way, and that's dope. Because in this business, you hear a lot of complaints of what we don't have. Oh, man, we don't have this. We need our own schools. We need our own this. We need our own that. And then I see people who are striving to produce that getting very little support. So that's not very encouraging to sacrifice. Because in order to dedicate myself full-time to creating materials, I had to separate myself from corporate America in a particular way because I couldn't attend events. You know what I mean? I ended up losing the corporate job I had because I was at a book festival, and I had called out sick 2 days before that. So, like, there's no way you were that healed. You probably planned it. And although it was bogus, it happened, but it needed to happen, and I understood that. My aunt once told me that she was like, eventually you're going to have to leave. Yeah, you're getting good money, you know, working with AT&T or whatever, but you're like Harriet Tubman working in a call center. Like, that's just not going to work. You don't have to trust your community to support you. And I was like, oh, my God, that's huge. I got a car note. I got rent. I got my son and my daughter. But she was like, you have no faith in the people you're saying that you're writing these books for? You know, and then you'll be able to create more content. And she was absolutely right. Since then, I've been able to publish 5 children books and a set of flashcards so far. I'm working on a documentary with Brother Raheem Shabazz, who has produced and put forth Elementary Genocide Part 1, 2, and just released 3. So I'm honored and privileged to be in a project with that brother. I'm working on turning in one of my children books into an animation. All of this came from me stepping out there and believing that, okay, someone will see that this is necessary and not see me as a single mother, you know, who just wanted to stay home, and so they should feel sorry for me and buy my book or my books. See the value in what I'm doing. So to get that kind of reminder, like, yeah, yo, sis, they do see it. Just, it means a lot to me. And I think that also speaks to anyone who is nominated and or receives an award. Like, we see you. We appreciate you. We understand there are sacrifices involved in what you're doing. You know, this time in terms of family, you know, that could have been going towards something else, you know, whatever kind of physical or monetary resources that had to be utilized. I know it takes investment. So people do deserve acknowledgement. And I know we were born into war times. Like, there's never been a time we weren't at war in our lifetime. So you need things to celebrate. You need something to fight for. That gives you more motivation. Like, you know what, because I want to be able to do this all the time. You know, we had to put time aside and resources so we could come together and we could rejoice and appreciate each other. This is what I'm fighting for. I'm fighting to be able to do things like this, to live freely, to have true liberation. You know what I mean? So I think it is important. It's not a situation of, like, black facing a Grammy or Emmy Award. No, this is us coming together and, again, giving acknowledgement for real work, for things that we want to encourage in our community. Hey, we want more of that. We want more of that. We love that service. We love that contribution. Keep doing that. Other people who are looking, yeah, we want more of this. You know what I'm saying? So I think that, again, it's important, and I love the fashion aspect that people are encouraged to wear, you know, African attire. So that's really amazing. And I'm sorry, one moment. I'm sitting in the car so I could have some quiet, and so the valet person came to the car. So anyways, I think the Black Power Awards is an amazing thing. I think, you know, Brother DJ allowing this to come through him, and I know he's heard, you know, all kinds of feedback, and he's pushing through that and coming with the second annual one. So I think that says a lot, too, to be able to just push forward no matter what kind of criticism you received or acknowledgement, and then just try to come bigger and better each time is really awesome. So I'm very excited. Just even at this point of being nominated, if I win, oh, man, floating. My daughter will definitely be inspired. She says she wants to be a mother, a book author, and an artist. So she's watching me 100%. So I'm glad to be able to show her. I wish I could bring her. You know, as soon as she found out I was nominated, I was going. She's like, oh, I'm going with you. I got to find the African dress. So maybe one day she'll be able to go too.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you got my vote. You got my vote. You know what I'm saying? 1,000%.
Right,
you got my vote. You got my vote. You know. So, let's talk about your company. What made you decide to have your company? And can you tell us, you know, some of the history behind it and what was the transitions and things like that?
Sure. So initially, I was just writing a book for my son, because as I was teaching him about different ancestors, I was limited on the resources. And when I got to Garvey, I couldn't find almost anything for children. And the one book I found, the preview had a picture of him in handcuffs. And I was like, okay, absolutely not. That shouldn't even be in a book. Even if you're going to address the unjustice system in this country, children don't understand certain things. And having that visual of one of our ancestors and such a powerful one like that shouldn't be in there. So I was just kind of really appalled and like, okay, nah, I'm not showing that to my son. I need to create something else. So I made a book for him. So my friend saw it and was like, oh, no, you need to publish this. I'm like, no, I do. You know, I had a girls book club that, you know, it was just some physical activist type of stuff. So I had never considered writing a book. So, you know, I was like, I'll look into it. So I do that. And what I found is a lot of publishing companies were jumping on it. Like, oh, we want to publish you, you know, sending me a contract real fast, but I wouldn't own all the rights. So I was like, okay, so there's something to this, and I need to make sure that I publish this with me owning the rights and having control. I don't want them to come and tell me to water anything down, because my process is that I meditate first, and I get permission from the ancestors first to write about whomever it is. So I don't need them to come and tell me, you know, oh, you know, you shouldn't discuss the UNIA or, you know, some of the injustices that took place. Do it like that. So I first went through a print-on-demand company. And when I did that, I found out that they were just really overcharging for all of the services, which means that you can never decide, like, okay, I'm going to do this full time, because it costs so much. And then at the end of the day, the person who receives that cost is your customer, because you have to charge to get your money back. So then that brought me to the next decision to start my own publishing company, so I could afford to give the books to who they were intended to be delivered to. You know, without breaking the bank or them feeling like I'm trying to, you know, come and be a scam artist, because there aren't many children books like this. So after doing that, I'm like, I bet you there are other book authors that would love to own their rights and not be ripped off in the process of publishing their books. So I came up with the idea of publishing other people. And that in itself is a whole other conversation of being able to be used in that way, so somebody's dream can come true and they could hold their book in their hand. You see them excited. They never thought it was going to happen. And, you know, it didn't take an arm and leg to do it. So that's kind of how the Proof in Publishing came in to fruition. And, yeah, I'm excited to see what the films are going to do. So that's the next piece.
So your own publishing company, and you help authors publish their own books?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just, it's a company that publishes someone who wants to self-publish, right? An independent book author. They don't necessarily want to own a company, but they want to get their material out there. No problem. I can help you do that. Someone who actually wants to own their own publishing company, I can still assist you because you need a printer, right? You need the book layout, the font done, the format. You still need to get these services done. So because I've been in the publishing industry for some years now, I've been able to build some relationships and, you know, just acquire some good wholesale rates on different aspects. And companies like, I'm pretty sure I can say this is safe, but, you know, a lot of people go through Creative Space, which is cool if you know everything you need, how it's supposed to look, but they don't really give you any heads up. I've seen books, like, without barcodes and, you know, library conquers control numbers, which means they then can't be in a library, just little things that help to give you this professional look and some space for opportunity so you can move around. So what I do as a book publisher is give you that insight. Hey, you know, Russ, you might want to make sure you have this. Traditionally, this happens. Of course, it's your choice, whatever you want to go with, but I'm not going to have you out there looking bad at the end of the day. You're going to have a professional-looking book, and I also offer author coaching. So if for some reason, you know, living in this society, a lot of people have 9-to-5s, you know, they have families, or maybe even have some confidence issues, and they need someone to come in and say, no, one, you got this. Like, this came to you for a reason. Maybe just look at organizing it in this way, putting this amount of time aside, and keeping them accountable. Okay, what do you have at this point? So that's one of the other services that I offer also.
Just fantastic, you know, all
Thank
of this
you.
Stuff in one. I know where I'm coming to do this book series because we are looking to do this book series on the radio for, you know, the show we've been on for 2 years, and to date we have around 666 episodes.
Wow, congratulations.
So, you know,
wow.
We want to do the book series, you know, to explain, you know, some of the processes and things like that, and a, you know, mini documentary as well. So I know, you know, you're working with my good brother, man, the God, Raheem Shabazz over there, excellent resource, hardworking brother.
Indeed.
You know, that's a magnificent brother, you know what I mean? So I know y'all going to be top-notch. So I know I'm going to have to come check you out, you know, for this book series. So I ain't out here looking raggedy like you just said.
Yeah, we're excited raggedy. About the film. It'll be my first film producing. It'll be I've had a little bit of experience in, like, doing some co-producing, a little bit of editing here or there. So this is kind of like my first real project where I have, you know, way more input. And so to be paired with someone like Raheem Shabazz, who's had films and he used to be a journalist and, like, he's dedicated, focused, serious, like, definitely honored.
And he loves our people. Good brother.
Indeed.
Loves our people.
Indeed.
Yes, the story is remarkable. We had the honor of having him on, you know, and connecting him with somebody from back in the day. You know, one of my brothers up here. So it was a good, you know, experience, good opportunity. You know, I got to have him back on for Elementary Genocide Part 3. So, you know, we're just going to work on that and make that happen. So you said one of the books that you wrote, you were thinking about, or, you know, in the process of making it into an anime.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that.
Well, I'll discuss as much as I'm probably allowed to, but I'll give you a hint. So I paired together with our brother Kofi, who does Afro Man, to do two of the book illustrations, right? So for Queen and Zynga and for my Successes of Marcus Garvey book. So he came to me and he was like, yo, you know, let's make an animation. And I'm totally with it because not everyone likes to read, and or let's say they read the book, but they can get a whole different angle and the magnitude of what the ancestors were able to accomplish at that time by seeing it, by hearing it. by able, you know, being able to visualize even the things that we don't necessarily put in there, but they have the base to do it. They have the foundation and seeing these moving characters. So even with, I'd say, with my first book, which is Madam C.J. Walker's Road to Success, majority of the book is illustrated. And then towards the end is where I have the actual photographs of her and, you know, some of the brothers and sisters that she employed and her property and et cetera, her products. And when the children get to the end, they're like, wait a minute, this is a real person? Oh, my God, well, I want to be like her. And they have that instant connection that they can accomplish what she accomplished. But they kind of had this idea all along, oh, this is a story about a woman, you know, like, okay, cool, oh, it's positive. Oh, wow, there was some tragedy, so I'm interested in the story. And then, wham, they're like, no. So they start going backwards, and at that point I can see what they were actually paying attention to. They're like, wait a minute, wow, so her parents died? Oh, my God. Oh, wow, so she, you know, so now I'm like, wow, they were paying attention. And it's resonating with them because now they want to go back and read the whole story over practically just in case they missed something. They're like, okay, now I see this is a real woman. Well, where's her daughter now? They have a million questions. So children love history, but they want to learn it in a way where it's applicable to them. What does it mean to me? You know what I mean? And any educators on the line, know, I know they've heard it a million times for the children. Okay, when am I going to use this? Why do I need to know this? It's the same with history. Unless there's a connection made, the children are like, why do I need to know this? There's no sense in knowing rhetoric. Rhetoric isn't going to get you anywhere. That's not going to get your profession. Like, you may get some kudos from people in your community. Oh, your child can run off this information, but they don't feel it. They don't know it. They don't really care. They're just kind of tap dancing, you know, for people to clap. Oh, she knows what an ankh is, but do you know in what form it was used? Where was it created? You know, what do you know about it outside of recognizing it? Recognizing is good as a start. Initially, you know, as a very small youth, you learn through recognition. Okay, I know what that is. And later you acquire more, a deeper knowledge of what that symbol is and what significant historical activities have taken place and the impact it's had not only on your community and your people, but the world. So our children learning even more about inventions and inventors, it's important, but I feel like the significance of saying the first is good. That's cool. But they need to know that, like, black brilliance and genius is normal. That's normal. Like, don't be flattered and surprised by that. Of course you invented that. Of course you could do that. You're capable of doing that and much more. So we need new temples, new pyramids, new things to write history about. We can't just deify all of the ancestors and not produce nothing for the grandchildren coming up and the great-great-grandchildren. We have to give them something to write about and it not just be the struggle or be, you know, hands up, don't shoot. Because our great-grandchildren are going to talk a lot of mess about us, like, hands up, don't, wait a minute. But so they didn't have access to guns? They couldn't get a gun license? Oh, no, they could, but so, wait, they allowed, that's not going to fly. You know, we want to encourage these children to know, like, the full story because, of course, we can't trust someone else to teach our children. It's not their responsibility. It is our responsibility. Like, and at this point, I feel like some people think that their responsibility is to complain about it and ask for something else. Like, you're asking someone who doesn't have your best interest at heart, and that's okay. They don't have to. You do. You should. And I don't feel like Chinese parents, you know, come to a school. You're not teaching enough Chinese history. They get that at home. They get the culture at home. That's who's expected to do it because those are their children. So we have to get out of the mindset of asking for what we could be providing for our children. If you don't like something, go somewhere else. Build something else. So that is a little bit off of the subject of the animation coming, but just to show how it's connected, we can't complain. We don't feel like we're represented in the animation world, and our children don't have certain things, but we have wonderful works, wonderful, wonderful works. Mel Trek is amazing. Love Sister Dr. Ma'at. We've had hours and hours and hours of conversation, and she won, actually, Children Literature Award last year in the Black Power Awards. I was extremely ecstatic. She's very worthy. We have Tell Me Who I Am. There's a lot of animations. Bino and Sino out of Nigeria. My daughter absolutely loves their series. So I'm excited to be able to contribute visually as well as literary. So that's the little skinny. So what you know is either it's going to be Queen and Zynga or it's going to be The Successes of Marcus Garvey that's animated first. Because, of course, eventually they both will. But which one will be first, you'll have to wait and see. So in the meantime, people can go to CultivatedRootsMedia.com and purchase the books so when the animation comes out, they can be even more familiar.
Oh, yeah, we're getting those books. We're getting all them books. So, family, www.CultivatedRootsMedia.com. Go make your purchase today. Make your purchase today. Okay, give a gift that you know that you can have for a lifetime. You understand what I'm saying? So, yes. So, I wanted you to talk to the people now that it may be some people out there, you know, thinking about whether or not they should have an African-centered school or homeschool or homeschool co-op or all of that. Can you talk about that necessity of African-centered education? This is African-Centered
sure.
Education Dedication Month here on New Knowledge Radio. So for the month of October, you're doing it. So you're just right on time with everything that you've been talking about.
Perfect. I wasn't aware of that. Okay, I'm going to have to make sure that I go in and share some more posts on it and also share some resources. I'm a huge fan of Dr. Samori Kamara, Kamali Academy. I'm very honored and privileged to be able to have that friendship and business acquaintance as well. So I highly recommend people going to connect with Dr. Baba Samori and Kamali Academy. He provides some academic resources for homeschoolers. But even to take it a step further, there are teachers that work in the public school system that would like to introduce more kind of African-centeredness in their approach in education and or information. So he provides that know-how. Next, I'll start off with homeschooling. So, let me just start off with the importance of African-centered education, period. Now, most public schools focus on history, their ancestors. So, ancestor relationship is very, very huge in community development and government development because you're basically, they utilize those years to sell their program. All of those years, look what we've been doing. Look what we've acquired. Look at what this is. These are the trinkets we have in place. Passage, you decide to stay with us on your own, right? We're going to provide you with the idea of success, the idea of what freedom and liberation is. Now, as long as you allow us to control your children through education and their health needs, which is saying like the vaccines that they say are necessary, we're going to also, you know, maintain control of your mobility in terms of you can travel, your passports and whatnot, where you should go, if you should go, by telling you disparaging things about different countries where a lot of the indigenous truth is, right? They're going to say that those are places that are impoverished and there's nothing to see here. You're not going to relax. You don't want to connect with those people. They're going to connect with your finances. You know, even if you don't agree with this government's doing, we're going to take a percentage of your pay and you're going to put towards it anyway. But this is freedom. This is for your liberation. Education, which is another huge piece of communal development, is we're going to give you what your principles are. We're going to demonize, you know, indigenous cultures and say that they're savage and they're dirty and for what? They make no sense. They're really caveman simple. But right there in the example I'm giving, caveman, I'm like, well, wait a minute. You were civilized and given information to by people of color, the same people who you're disparaging and say that don't have intelligence. So it's completely flipped. So it's very necessary. Even if you don't have the confidence to homeschool, it's imperative that you set the standards on what is respectable and their perspective on history and give them the correct version of it. Because, again, they need to see where their ancestors were placed and why. Why did that happen? What they would have done. Give them opportunity to develop their critical mind and get comfortable in sharing their thoughts and their ideals. And encourage them. So let's say that you don't feel confident homeschooling. I would definitely suggest finding an African-centered school that can assist you. You know, just the same way you would send them to a public school or a charter school or whatnot, you know, looking around and finding one. If there's not one within reason, you know, travel distance, then build a co-op so that the things that you're not well-versed in, you can make sure your children still get that academic support. I don't think if you aren't confident, if you don't have the time, if you don't have the know-how, you should just keep them out of school because you don't like what is there. You need to replace it with something so that, you know, you're not basically just keeping them home and just kind of running around and not giving any kind of structured lessons to them. But there are so many resources that if you don't know, then you can study until you feel confident enough to do it. So I don't think that's like an end all, like, well, I'm not good in math, so I can never homeschool. No, one, you can find someone else to do that portion, but you can also be, you know, get better in math so that you can teach them, so you can lead them if that's what you would like to do. But you shouldn't feel bad if you have to work full time at this time. You need to make sure you supplement so that, okay, they get the academics there, but you're going to give them the kind of critical mind that when they're receiving all the BS poison that comes along with it, they know how to decipher that information. So now they're safe to go out anywhere in the world, and they're going to have the kind of mind to say, okay, wait a minute, am I being sold on something? Is this a part of the whole agenda for me to eventually work for them and believe that, you know, they're the superpower of the world and da-da-da-da? So they'll be able to have that kind of discernment. Like, having discernment, I think, is most crucial in this society than anything, because they're going to be sold a lot of different things that look fluffy, that to their age group, and it'll be easy for them to come and just take your babies right out your house from right up underneath you. And you're like, wait a minute, where'd you learn that from? Where'd you hear that? So, you know, you got to have those conversations. I think we should have more schools for sure, and that just requires more support as well. So we can't just say that, but then, you know, not give them the students, not give them the population and the resources. And we come together, we can have bigger schools, stronger schools, more tools, more resources and materials. So I'd love to see more of them get together. And I think it's nice to have the variety that's in a school opposed to only homeschooling where, you know, they can't do as many group activities. And according to my research and Dr. Amos Wilson's research, our children actually do better in group settings. So you just even going along with what works, it's more ideal for them to be able to have situations where they pair with girls, they pair boys and girls, all boys and whatnot, and just seeing what that's like and having that kind of harmony and that kind of balance and growing up. You know, having teachers that are both male and female, so you don't just have the female's perspective on everything, which for some reason, majority of teachers are females. So that's something else I'd love to see kind of average out and balance out. You know, time will tell, but I'm excited to have some products that can assist people in homeschooling. I'm contacted by a lot of schools across the board, you know, public, charter, private, and homeschoolers alike that contact me for more content. So I'm starting to build out more teacher aids and things to assist people in all of the educational endeavors that they do.
Definitely needed, definitely needed. And this approach based off of, you know, your years of experience. I won't name the number again, you understand?
I'm 39. I'm proudly 39 years of age, okay? So, yeah, over 20 years in and out of our schools. And there's a huge need for us to provide textbooks and just educational resources. I can't. There's enough room for everybody. It's needed on all grade levels. You know, I think you should have more than one perspective on things. So it doesn't matter if there's already been a book written on this or a film about that. You know, this world could stand your two cents on it and your take. You may emphasize on economics more, whereas someone else will focus on, you know, maybe the unity aspect or the acquiring land aspect or whatnot. But a lot of schools kind of take the textbooks that public schools use, but just blackface them. They just like, okay, well, I'm going to color in these faces. But what's even more dangerous about doing that is that someone's going to eat it up fast. Like, oh, I recognize that face. Okay, I can eat all of this because it looks like me and it came from someone who looks like me, so I trust it. but it was written in a way that, you know, Europeans acquire information or for their benefit. So you can't just twist one or two words and color in the faces. You need to take a different approach, one that just deals with humanity, so that's the undertone of the lesson, that deals with communalism, that deals with, you know, some kind of end-all principle that you want installed in the child, and not, again, with the rhetoric that, oh, how are they supposed to know about this? Okay, let me teach you about it. What's the best way to teach them? What do you want them to walk away with? And what's the best way? If that way didn't work, what's plan B? Okay, are you open to talking to the child, interviewing them? What works best for you? What parts did you remember? Why do you think you remember that? I found out after talking to my son that things that rhyme, you know, and have a beat to them, he can remember it. So we were able to teach him math that way. I was like, okay, cool. But I had to interview him to see what works, because he just, I don't get it, Mom. I don't know. I don't get it. I'm like, okay. So now there's, like, on YouTube, I have something called Samari's Homework as one of the titles, and I have music that will not overpower his thoughts and what he needs to study, but he can kind of have in the background. Like, when he's playing his video games, he has music on. He's able to go in and smash and crush whatever he's supposed to do for those missions. So I just saw what works for him. And my daughter's 8. I continue to interview her, see what works for her. So I teach things according to how she can learn it, because she's an individual. Like, there's not just one way to teach all people. You know, different people have different interests, skills and gifts and, you know, just ways to learn. Yeah.
Okay, so the last question I wanted to ask you, you mentioned about having a self-defense martial arts background and a necessity. So could we go into that? What particular styles, or what do you recommend, you know, particularly for our sisters and for our youth in regards to self-defense?
Well, I definitely suggest knowing some form of self-defense, whatever, you know, martial art, or let it be boxing, that you're attracted to, because, again, it's healthy. You know, it helps to condition your body. It also helps to condition your mind. It gives you a sense of discipline. And when you're formally trained, you're less likely to just wow out and use it, like, just because, and have ego issues and whatnot, because you get humbled in a certain way. So it's healthy in that aspect also. My Sifu is in Wing Chun, so that's what I learned, and boxing as well. So I found the more I learned, the less likely I'd be using it, just because, you know, the way your mind's conditioned, even, like, you don't, you know, if I think with balanced character, you're not looking to go and just, like, whoop everybody's butt, you know what I mean? Like, okay, in the event I need to do this and I need to handle my business, I'm glad to know that. I've had some situations where I have had to utilize it, and I was just so thankful to have something so priceless given to me, you know what I mean, something that no one can take from me. And be able to protect myself and my children in that way. Now, when it comes to actual weapons, you know, not being afraid, not looking at it like, you know, that's going to be your go-to. You know, we're dealing with a society that speaks that language. We need to be bilingual. Like, okay, you know, we can speak good character and righteousness, but I can meet you wherever you want to go. You know what I mean? In the event I need to defend my home, my person, my property, I'm able to do that too, because I'm in a land where that is the main language. Most of the things acquired in this country, you know, it came with the backbone of a gun. You know, I'm willing to shoot you for this. You know, I'm taking this land. You know, I'm taking the power of these mines. So, like I said, you need to be bilingual. But even outside of if some kind of huge catastrophe took place, you should just, in terms of sportsmanship, know how to handle your business. If you needed to hunt, you know, we don't know what's coming ahead of us. It would be a good idea to know how to hunt as well. So being familiar with herbs is another form of self-defense, I imagine, also, and can help heal yourself. So that is my suggestion. My history started with my stepfather. My mother and stepfather married when I was about 10, and they didn't have a boy at that point in the family. So until they got my little brother, I was, like, low-key the boy that was in the house. I was a tomboy anyways that could help. So after he would go to the shooting range, he wanted to make more bullets. So he would offer me money to help him. So we would be in his little walk-in closet, hit you with all that gunpowder, making more bullets so that, you know, he could go to the gun range. So eventually, Nancy, I wanted to go. I was like, well, heck, I want to go. I'm, you know, helping you make bullets. I want to use them. So after much convincing with my mother, because I was in high school by that time, you know, they allowed me to start going to the range. So I just viewed weapons completely different. It wasn't like, you know, movies or how they're mentioned in music. It was for the sport. I wanted to get my aim better. I wanted to know how to break them down faster, put them back together, feeling proud to do it on my own, almost like someone who does model cars. That's how I looked at different guns. So, and coming into age and, you know, joining different organizations and whatnot, seeing the necessity in terms of self-defense, like, okay, it's actually good to know how to make your own bullets from a capitalistic view. Like, you don't have to go out and shell out that money. You can save some money. Emergencies arise. And, you know, it also being a good idea to know how to break down and switch parts and whatnot to save money as well and to customize things. So just taking the stigma off that it's because you want to use them or you want to use them towards a certain kind of people, when it's not about that. It's about being able to protect yourself in general by any means necessary, but knowing the means. You can't say by any means necessary and you only got like two different means and you're not, you know, looking to keep building strategy and resources. So knowing how to use your hands, knowing how to use, you know, physical weapons, but knowing how to use your brain is the most important piece, or you could misuse any one of those things and bring yourself more trouble and more disaster. So I definitely encourage, you know, women to feel and get more comfortable and around guns, knives, pepper spray, mace. You know, there's a stun guns, there's tasers, there's a lot of things that you can do to protect yourself, but you should have something. This is a crazy, crazy world we're living in where, you know, anything goes and you should be prepared. I'd say in regards to children, I do have a weapons class with my daughter, and she does a great job. And the way that she sees guns, I think, is a lot like I did in terms of it being a tool. But, you know, she's not afraid of them. She doesn't, you know, want to sneak off and try to use it behind my back or anything. Of course, we practice safety, but that desire is gone because I don't hide it from her. She knows when she gets to a certain age, she'll get one of her own. She's comfortable with that. It's something to work towards, but she knows that she has to continue to memorize the parts and know how they work so that she could acquire that. Like, I'm not going to just give her a gun because it looks cool on my Instagram. Like, oh, yeah, you know, my 8-year-old girl has a pink rifle. Don't that look cool? You know what I mean? It's going to be that my daughter earned it, and she knows how to take care of it. You know, she's working on her aim and just approaching it from a different holistic reasoning, not just to be trendy. And that, you know, will give me confidence in knowing that my daughter knows how to protect herself. She does. She knows some. We've gone over some boxing and some Wing Chun. And as she continuously, you know, gets older, we'll step up her training. But I try to bring her, not anywhere I go, but almost anywhere I go, so that even if she's not at the age where she can retain it, she sees it and she knows that we have access to it. And when she's ready or it's time that she's going to be introduced or she's going to get more information. So I just wanted to also add that it is important to make sure you expose your children in a certain way too.
All right. Well, I definitely thank you for your time. If you have any final thoughts you wanted to share with the people, also, again, how people can reach you, how people can support you, and also how people can make a monetary purchase to those gifts that you have given to the people. One more time for the family.
Yeah, thanks. I want to thank you again for having me. Awesome questions. I actually received questions I've not had yet, so I'm excited about that. Usually it's kind of like the typical three or four same ones. So I just want to thank you for picking my brain on some new subjects and kind of getting in depth on the information. Now, you can go to my website, which is www.cultivatedrootsmedia.com. If you're interested in Proven Publishing, then you can email me at cultivatedrootsmedia@gmail.com or you can actually go to my Instagram and or Facebook, but I think Instagram is pretty good because it has a contact button that will automatically take you to my email. So my Instagram is Akua, A-K-U-A, underscore Agusi, A-G-U-S-I. So if you go there, again, you can push contact. If you want to buy books in bulk, then also go to my contact button, because I do have wholesale rates for stores and educators or anyone. More and more, I've actually had people contact me for birthday parties, and they've been putting them in goodie bags. So there's been a great response with that. So I offer a wholesale rate for that as well. If you would like me to, you know, do any visits, any need, period, and contacting me, again, you know, go through the Instagram button or just send me a message on Facebook. And, yeah, that's it. Thank you.
That's for all them bombs you dropped over here, them bombs, them jewels, those gems, those pearls, all of that infinite wisdom. You know, love and honor to you, love and honor to your family. See you at the awards in Atlanta. I got to say how they say it, Atlanta. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
See you out there and be cheering the loudest when you go across that stage. That's
thank you. I'm looking forward to meeting you, too. Seeing everybody. It's going to be beautiful. And thank you, everyone, for nominating me as well. I'm very, very, very appreciative of that honor.
All right. Thank you for your time. Definitely be in touch about some of the stuff we discussed, you know.
Indeed.
All right. Peace, sis. All right, Sam, we're going to roll up out of here. Now, don't forget to check us out tomorrow. We had a Warrior Queen's Perspective, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Shakti of Last in Peace, Earth, Black Ice will be in the building. Tuesday, Book of Bricks series. We're doing The Last Dragon, finishing up The Last Dragon, Decoded. We'll have our brother Keith Horton in the building. Our brother KT, the Arts Degree, will be in the building. I'm about to get on something with KT right now, so... well, not really right now, but within the hour, be on Do Nas Radio, our YouTube channel, and we're doing like a prelude to his event he's having this Friday at Pan-African Connections Bookstore, Dallas, Texas. So we'll be on talking about that along with some of his experiences over in the Virgin Islands. So that's going on 1 hour from now. Wednesday we have Black Survivor 2017 and Beyond. Thursday, we have the Sankofa Circle, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Black Survival 2017 and Beyond. Wednesday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Friday, we have a Asafo Radio, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be doing United Front's Greatest Hits, so that's going to be remarkable. This Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll do our first segment of the Behind the Scenes series, the Making of Due to Knowledge Radio. So, you know, this Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll go through, you know, some episodes and be able to hear my thoughts on, you know, that initial process, maybe like the first 10 or more of the episodes that's, you know, we'll be dealing with that. 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, African Liberation School, this Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Get This Wisdom Live. Make sure you subscribe, www.getthiswisdommagazine.com, and subscribe and get that magazine. Also, you know, subscribe to their YouTube channel as well. So African Liberation School on Saturday. Sunday, we'll be on with Al Nora, a.k.a. Mental Sequence. And we'll be discussing the 4th annual Pilgrims Massacre. Arkansas RBG is putting it on. This is their 4th year. And we'll have some of the artists and the people that scheduled to perform. That's November 25th, 2017. You know, the weekend after the Black Power Awards weekend. So down there, Arkansas RBG's Mental Sequence will be in the building. and some of the other artists that will be in the building, so you don't want to miss that. And that's at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday. Like we heard, subscribe to the show here, www.blogtalkradio.com/Student Knowledge Radio. That's DOTHAKNOWLEDGERADIO. Check us out at our e-commerce site, hub site, studentknowledgeuniversity.com. So we're looking to be a guest. You can email us at studentknowledgeradio@gmail.com. Or you can follow the show on Twitter at KnowledgeBorn15. Again, that's at KnowledgeBorn15. So with that, I'm going to say peace, love, black power, and we'll see y'all tomorrow.
I think the important thing for people to understand is that in America, we have an education system that does not speak to the needs of African children.
We want to be able to be who we are, talk how we talk, walk how we walk, live how we want to live, and be producers and providers for our children in the future. We want to be African.
When the way the world is on your shoulders, let the power within us.
Reconstruction, where African people owned a lot of land, owned a lot of businesses.
government, the Ku Klux Klan, and other organizations organized in smashing that effort. So it's not that we haven't tried to own land and have not organized businesses. It's that if you are African in America or in Latin America or in the Caribbean or in the continent, you will be hunted.